kids do grow up fast, don't they? And I mean, they are literally growing up. I see my little daughter, Rebecca, and she is getting taller fast. Faster than other kids her age, or at least another kid in this church that's her age, that she is getting tall. I noticed that this morning when I was heading off from my house, I was about to leave, Becca ran to the door and said, wait, before you go, I'm going to run up to the window and I'll wave out the window while you back out. So I got in my car and I started to back out, and sure enough, I saw her little hand and the little faces peeking up over the windowsill, waving down at me as I was leaving. And I remembered a picture that we have from a couple years ago of her also waving to me out the window, except in the picture, it's from the inside. She's not just standing on the floor like she can do now. She has a pile of toys that she's shoved up against the window, and she's precariously perched on top, holding onto the little windowsill so she can wave out the window at me. But now she has grown. Of course, for me, the most often place I see growth is in my yard. I have a little backyard area, and actually, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I have grass that grows very slowly. So I can mow my lawn maybe just once or twice over the summer, and the grass will hardly grow at all. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong there. I think probably not, because there's plenty of other stuff that will grow in my yard, just not the grass. There's weeds that grow like crazy. I can mow, and it seems like a day later, there'll be dandelions a foot high in my yard, but the grass itself is content to stay relatively short. As my other plants and things are growing, some of them are pretty hardy things. They grow back despite me not caring for them very much, sometimes despite me trying to get rid of them. That I have a number of flowering bushes and a little rose bush that I mow them down completely, flatten them out, and then sometime over the summer they start sneaking back. That they keep coming and growing, and I'm not saying the flowers don't look nice because they're beautiful flowers, but I would just as well not have to bother with them. Having to mow them over once a year is a lot of work. Or I guess maybe not, but anything that has prickly parts, I have banned from my yard. At least, as far as I have power to ban things. It seems that some of these don't respect my authority as much as perhaps plants should. That we have a number of plants that are growing, some of which I want to grow, like I have grapevines that are growing along one little section of chain link fence, and they're not doing that great. They've been there for a few years now, and the fence is still mostly visible. We had some grapes this year, but I didn't get to eat them because they were all taken by the animals and things before I ever picked them. So next year I'm going to be the early bird. I'm going to be the early bird, not them. I also have ivy that grows in my front yard along the fence there, and that is beautiful, especially in the summer when it's all green, a nice wall of green around the front yard and down the fence, across the yard, into my driveway. Actually, I noticed it over the summer that coming home one day, it had managed to peek up out of the gutters up above my roof, just growing up there. It had come in from the downspout at the bottom, worked its way up in darkness, and then it poked out at the top. Man, that was some difficult weeding. Actually, I shouldn't complain too much. I do try to take care of the ivy, and it's not maybe technically a weed, but they say a weed is any plant that's growing where you don't want it. So once it gets off that fence, it's a weed from that point on. It got so bad that Angela, I think, doubting my abilities to take care of it, she hired someone else to just please come clear out all the ivy that's on the ground. If you can cut through a foot deep ivy and just, I want to see the ground again. And so she had to get it all cleaned out professionally because I couldn't quite handle it. As we think of plants growing, I'm reminded that as Christians, we are also called to grow. That we are called to grow in the same way. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a little bit about Christians and who we are. And we're going to be talking about growth. You remember last week we spoke on the role of the church, what the church does and how the church as an institution works. Today we're going to be looking at the individuals in the church, how Christians work in this world. This in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm just going to read verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you that we are able to be in your presence this morning, and we ask that you would open our hearts, that we would hear from you, that we would grow closer to you through your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Christians are called to grow, and this verse especially points out the roles of Christians in this world. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And I think at the core of these descriptions is growth. And we grow in several directions. The first is that as Christians, we are called to grow upward. We will grow upward as Christians. We come to church in part to grow closer to God. We should be people who are growing upward into greater holiness and Christ-likeness. The verse here says, we are a chosen people, a people belonging to God. The newer translation says, God's special possession. That we belong to God, that he has invested in us, and he is urging us on to growth. Just like in my yard, I have some plants that are growing quite aggressively and some that perhaps are not. I have a number of things that are growing just of their own volition, of their own strength. They start growing up as long as they have the nutrients, they have water, they have sunlight, they're going to grow like that ivy, slowly taking over and growing. And just like that ivy, growing up through the downspouts and up out my gutter onto my roof, we as Christians are called to grow upward, seeking out not the Son, but the Son of God. That we would grow upward, enjoying God more and more as we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. That is why we meet here at church. The church should be a place where we are encouraging growth among Christians. The different elements that we have of the service are all geared towards that type of upward growth. That we would come to know God more. That's why we come here on a Sunday morning and we sing praises. That we lift up our voices to the Lord, lift up his holy name. Then we hope that our time of praise and worship, that it is an emotional time as well, that it is a time when you are able to engage your heart, that you are able to really just enjoy God's presence, to love who he is and what he has done. And then we also have times of prayer during the service. And we hope that all of you are praying throughout your life as well. But we have specific times of prayer when we speak to God. We ask for his blessing. That we want to have times when we remind you that God can take care of all these things in your life. And so we pray for people who are in danger, who are sick. We pray for those in our church. Each week you'll notice in the bulletin we list a few people who attend here. And we pray for them. We pray that they would be blessed, that they would also be used by God, that they would grow closer to God. We pray for our missionaries and for their work as well. We also have the time of scripture reading and studying of the scripture, what we do here during the sermon, during the adult Bible fellowships, during the children's Sunday school classes, or now if they're down in children's church, that they want to be able to open the word and understand it. That even a small child, we believe, can understand the truth of who God is and what Christ has done. And that through that understanding, they can grow upward as well. That because of the work of the church, you can be spurred on to greater growth. That more than just spending your morning golfing, by coming here, you're going to be encouraged to grow upward and more like Christ. What we do on Sunday mornings would be meaningful. Even something as simple as our time of giving We hope is an act of worship, encouraging you to rely on God and His provision and to generously give to the ministry, that you would see the work of the church, of Christ's church, progress. We are called to grow upward. I think when I'm thinking of upward, I think of the great redwood trees. You know, a redwood tree doesn't start out 100 feet tall. It starts out like any other tree, just a little sprig out of the ground. But over time, it's being nurtured, it's seeking the sun, and it grows higher, 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 until it towers above all other vegetation that's nearby. That as Christians, we should be enjoying God's presence to the extent that we reach up higher, that we are like that ivy growing through the gutter, doing whatever it takes to reach up to see God's light. My neighbor actually has some sunflowers, not the little wild ones you see around here sometimes, but a regular, like, probably from a seed packet type of thing, sunflower. And over the summer, I've been able to watch it out my window grow taller. It's probably 8 feet tall now, with that big round flower turned up to see the sun coming up. And that's what we should be too, striving and growing upward, that we would become more and more like God. But our growth must not stop at only being upward growth. We must grow upward, but we must also, as Christians, grow inward. That we should be growing inward as well. Inward, strengthening the church, building in strength among other believers. That as we grow as Christians, we do serve, as the verse says, as a royal priesthood and a holy nation. A people concerned with strengthening each other in Christ. That idea of a holy nation, that we are united together as a nation is, but it is a nation that's united in holiness and knowledge of God. That as a nation, our primary concern first is strengthening ourselves, strengthening the people of God. Yes, nations live on the stage of the world and they do interact with other nations, but there's no nation on earth that is focused only outwardly. They focus inwardly first, educating and teaching and protecting their people. And the church does the same thing, that we start by having that inward focus and building strength within the church. That we are also a royal priesthood, people who are able to intercede between man and God. That we are able to speak on the behalf of others in the church to help them grow. In our inward growth, I couldn't think of many great examples of positive things that grow from the outside in. That oftentimes the outside in growth, you think there's something wrong with that, like is an ingrown toenail. You need to have some surgery and get rid of that, or that condition where your eyelashes start to grow into your eye instead of out of your eye. And I would hate to have that. I hope that none of you ever have to suffer from that, or that if you do, it's like really easy to get rid of, because that just freaks me out. But the inward growth that I think of is the growth that occurs inside a child. That a child, they start out small on the outside and small on the inside, and as they grow, you don't expect them just to grow their skin stretching out until they're adults. That if you look at an adult, you don't expect to see a little baby-sized brain and little baby-sized heart and lungs and organs and all things down here, and the rest of them an empty shell, and so they kind of just float around, woo, balloon people. But you expect that inward growth, that the structure of a child, their bones are growing longer and stronger, that their organs are getting bigger and more powerful to support the work of the body. And that's how the church should grow as well, that we have that inward growth where we're encouraging people to grow in Christ-likeness, so we have a stronger and better functioning church. Right now, our church here, Living Hope, is in a time of expansion and growth that we have. If you looked in the bulletin, you'll know that our finances are doing pretty good, that we have new families who are coming, that we are able to grow spiritually. We have Bible studies that are strong and have been going on studying the Word of God. And we're starting this push now. If you saw in the video before the service started, Living Hope for All Generations. And that's going to be the key words that we're talking about in the coming months and years. And you'll hear Pastor Steve talking about that as we get into the holiday seasons and into next year. we'll be focusing more on this living hope for all generations. And living hope, not because we believe that this church, this gathering right here, is the cure for the generations of this world, but because we really believe in the name of this church, living hope, that hope that we have in Christ, and that is something that all generations need. And when we focus on that living hope for all generations, it starts within the church. That it starts with recognizing the strengths and the weaknesses that we have in different generations in this church, and how we can serve to strengthen one another in this church to begin with. When we talk of living hope for all generations, it means passing down from the older to the younger. That we're serving, that the younger generation is serving the older generation. You know, there are some things that increase with age, that as you get older, hopefully you're growing in wisdom, you're growing in Christ-likeness. Maybe you get to a point in your life where your kids are starting to move out, or you're empty nester, and you start having more time, more than when kids who are in school or college students who are pursuing their studies, or young families who are caught up in the kids' activities. But there's also some things that we recognize the older generation can benefit from as well. That the young families in this church may have more energy and physical strength. That if you're part of the older generation, we want to care for you and meet the needs that you have difficulty meeting. That as you are able to do less, those who are younger are able to use their strength as well. And I hope that if any of you are struggling and have something that needs to be done that you are not able to do on your own, that you have talked to myself, to Pastor Steve, to one of the elders, that we can connect you with somebody. Because there are strapping young lads, at least some of the other young lads in this church, that would be willing to come and help you. I'd help you too. I don't know if I count as strapping or not, but I'd be glad to use my strength and my energy to help those who are in need. And I hope that your wisdom, that your time that you have if you are older, is spent on strengthening this church. When we think of living hope for all generations, it starts by growing inward. By growing inward and strengthening this body of believers. But it does not end there, because as Christians we must grow upward in our understanding of God, growing in holiness and Christ-likeness. We must grow inward, strengthening the church, but we also must grow outward. That our growth must not stop at the corners of this lot. This church has actually benefited from this type of outward growth just in our own lawn that's out here. If you've been around our building, you've probably noticed we have a couple areas of nice green grass over there. And then just on this side of the sidewalk around the corner, we have a little area of grass that has been growing farther and farther down the hill. That's been pushing to expand. That we're slowly getting a nicer area down there as that grass creeps outward, outward, outward. The same thing happened back over here, that this little section of grass has jumped the sidewalk and made it to the back edge of the church and has started to try to fill in that corner. Not because we put in sprinklers there and spread seed ourselves, but because grass by its nature wants to expand. Christians, by their nature, should want to grow outward. We should want to be pursuing people for the gospel. That they would enter into the kingdom of God. We must be growing outward. That's what this verse says. It says, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Not just to be those things, but it says, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That we are to be a people who declare the praises of God. That we are not monks or nuns who spend your time just cloistered away in the church, focusing only on our own spiritual growth. But we come here on a Sunday morning, we have that growth that we experience and that encouragement that we have from other believers, but then we go out into the world and we make a difference. That's why we include that 5-second prayer. That we pray for people who are on our hearts each week. And we hope that you pray that not just during the service on Sunday morning, but that you pray that as you think of those people throughout your week, that this person would come to know Christ, that they would become an ambassador of Christ, that they would be participating in this outward growth, that the church would continue to expand and grow outward. And I know that it's a difficult thing because there are many places in this world where people do not want to speak of faith, where they do not want us to speak of truth. that as we go through our lives as Christians, there will be times when we are not wanted. I told you before that a weed is just something that's growing where you don't want it. And for much of the world, they consider Christians as weeds. But the greatest thing about weeds is that they keep coming back. That they are so hard to put down. And as Christians, that is my hope, that for each of you, you are hard to put down. That your faith cannot be easily snubbed out. That you are not easily uprooted from this world. But that you stand there even when people do not want you. Because the truth of the matter is, we are not weeds growing in a beautiful lawn, but we are the wheat of this world growing among tares. And the tares do not accept who we are, but we cannot be beaten down by them. That as we grow outward, this idea of living hope for all generations doesn't stop at the generations in this building. But if we want the gospel message to extend, if we want hope to come to people who are not yet even born, then we must expand beyond the borders of this church. That we must be diligent in reaching out to those who need to hear the gospel. That as we go into this world, we are a beacon to those who need the truth. That wherever we go, we are scattering seeds of the gospel. That little snippets of truth, of joy, of hope, of love, of God. And when we see a little leaf just starting to reach up out of the ground, that we nurture it. That we stick with those people and we say, I want to help this grow. I want to help you know the truth. That when troubles come, I want you to know the love of God. That I'm going to be there to care for you as you grow slowly larger, larger, larger in your faith. That at some point I would see a mature Christian bearing fruit. That you also would be part of this kingdom. And that's why our 5-second prayer doesn't just say, Heavenly Father, we want so-and-so to just hear the gospel one time. We want people to be made ambassadors for Christ. Not just people who know the message or have heard the message, but people who have embraced it, who themselves are growing upward, more and more like Christ, who themselves are able to strengthen the church, that inward growth to strengthen the body of Christ, but who also themselves have been transformed to grow outward. To be that ambassador, the person who takes that message where it needs to be heard. That as Christians, that's the goal for each of us in our life, that we would be enjoying God so much that it would overflow to the people around us, that they would see our love for Him, that they would grow through it, that the borders of the kingdom of God would expand. As a royal priesthood, each of us is able to bring God's message to the people. Each of us is able to direct people to right thinking and right belief. I talked about that last week, that the church stands for spirituality, yes, but the right spirituality. And we stand for truth. And as Christians, as ambassadors of that message, you must be working to bring that message to the people that you see. That we would be known as an invasive species. That we are people who do not belong in this world. That worse than a tamarisk tree down by the river. That we are in this world using its resources, but not because we are of this world, not because we belong here, but because we are going to make a difference. That where Christians move, the environment will change. That we'll be pushed out is hate and envy and discord. That the love of Christ would come and grow outward from the church, transforming this world through our lives in it. That even when trials come, the church would not be eradicated, it would not be contained, it would not be safely put away in its little corner, but that we would be expanding the kingdom. Like the flowers I have in my yard, when the church is mowed down, as happens from time to time, when people are told, you cannot do this, you cannot believe that, you cannot say those things, we would grow up again and again. That the world would see the beauty of the love of Christ. How are you going to be growing? As a Christian, how are you going to be growing? Are you going to be growing upward? Are you just happy with where you are? Like the grass in my lawn will just stay so short. Don't poke your head up too high because that mower might come again. Just let's take it easy. Calm. Or are you like that ivy? That ivy that is not content to sit on the fence, which is a nice fence. But they're not happy with the fence, and it's gonna climb up that gutter. It's gonna reach up onto the roof where I do not, in general, let plants live. Because it seeks the sun. As a Christian, are you seeking God's holiness to that extent? That even the dark tunnels of life lead you ultimately to God's glory? And are you growing inward? Are you using your strength and your effort here in this church among other Christians that you know to encourage them, to strengthen the body of Christ? We're going to be looking at that in the next couple of weeks, about how we can use our gifts, how we can use our passions, how we can focus that on the mission of this church, what we are doing here in this body. Are you serving Christ's church? And then are you growing outward? Are you expanding the kingdom of God? Are you praying that 5-second prayer or something like it? Do you know someone in this world who needs the truth, who needs the gospel message? If not, find somebody. If it means you have to join a gym, do it. Just meet someone who needs that truth. Someone who you can pray for. That we can grow outward with the love of God.